WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. On this November 16th, 2016, can't believe that we're already talking about hump day. That's right, it's Wednesday, folks, and we've got a loaded hour in store for all of our listeners out there. On today's Current Sports, we will talk about the blowout in New York last night, the Michigan State men's basketball team falling to number 2 Kentucky at Madison Square Garden. What went wrong for Tom Izzo's young team? We'll chat about that. We'll also have a recap from last night's Michigan State women's basketball game, which I attended and got to see Susie Merchant's squad up close and personal for the first time this season as they topped Southern. You'll get to hear from Coach Merchant on the win. Michigan State now 3-0. And Tori Jankowska has led the team in scoring in each of those three wins. All right. Looking good right now. Again, very early in the year, but looking good right now, I must say. And also, the latest college football playoff rankings were released right after Duke and Michigan State tipped off and right before the Kansas and Duke game took place. The College Football Playoff Committee has everyone talking yet again, which they're doing their jobs right now. They are doing their job. So we'll chat about the latest college football playoff rankings. And as we continue our week here, with it being, of course, Men's Health Awareness Month in November, we will invite two individuals who are really taking New York by storm. Speaking of New York, right? With a food and fitness initiative that is really growing by the day, all right? Entitled Duke's Food and Fitness. You don't want to miss that. And on the back end of the show, we will talk about LeBron James and Phil Jackson exchanging a bit of words. Yeah. Interesting story there, to say the least, all right? That and so much more. If you want to be a part of our airwaves, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. The MSU men's basketball team fell to 0-2 on the young season with a 69-48 loss to number 2 Kentucky in New York. The Spartans stayed close early before falling behind late in the first half, and then they were outscored by 13 points in the second. MSU shot just 32.8% as a team and had 21 turnovers on the night against the strong Wildcat defense. Miles Bridges, the famed freshie, showed his youth, though, in this game, shooting just 2 of 11 from the floor and had 9 turnovers. MSU will look to pick up the pieces and find its first win of the year on Friday night when they take on Mississippi Valley State. We'll have more on that game in just a second. The number 21-ranked MSU women's basketball team remains undefeated after last night's matchup against Southern University, beating Southern 70-55. Now, senior forward Taya Reimer had 12 points for the Spartans. Tori Jankowska led the team with 16 points, 9 rebounds. Also, Taya had a double-double, 12 points, 11 boards, first double-double as a Spartan. Jankowska has now scored in double figures in every game this season. The Spartans will now begin a 4-game road trip starting with Western Michigan on Friday at 7 p.m. We'll have more coverage from that game as well later this hour. Head coach of the Michigan State hockey team, Tom Anastas, he announced 3 new Spartans yesterday who signed national letters of intent for next season. Tommy Miller of West Bloomfield is a big, strong, skating defenseman who has the ability to produce on both ends of the rink. Mitch Lewandowski of Clarkson is a forward and has a connection with MSU forward Patrick Kotarenko, playing together as kids to win a youth hockey national championship. And David Kiefer of Brighton is a fast-skating winger who is known to have a strong 200-foot game. Impressive signings for Tom Manassas' team. Congratulations to that program. All right, two Big Ten teams are now in the college football playoff. After a wild weekend of college football, we highlighted on yesterday's Current Sports how on Saturday, numbers 2 through 4 all fell on the same night. Alabama still tops out the poll. Ohio State, the new number 2, with Michigan at number 3. The committee has Clemson in the 4th spot with Louisville, Washington, and Wisconsin. And Penn State rounding out the rest of those top spots. We'll have more on the latest edition of the college football playoff rankings in just a moment. The Detroit Lions safety Don Carey has signed a 1-year contract extension. The deal, which includes a $375,000 signing bonus and a $975,000 base salary, will keep Carey in Detroit through at least the 2017 year. Now, Carey has a team-high 7 special teams tackles this year and also has played a handful of snaps as a nickel cornerback. The Detroit Red Wings fell behind 2-0 early, but were able to fight back and equalize at 3-3 in the third before falling late to the Tampa Bay Lightning 4-3, the final of that one. Now, the bright spot of the game was defenseman Ryan Sproul scoring his first career goal. The Wings have now lost 2 straight and are 8-8-1 on the season with a chance to bounce back in the win column on Friday in our nation's capital. The Detroit Pistons, sitting at 6-5 on the year, will look to get their second road win of the season when they take on the 4-6 New York Knicks tonight at Madison Square Garden. So how about that? You had Michigan State play at the Garden last night, and now the Pistons will travel there tonight to take on Carmelo and the Knicks. And they had to do it without key player Andre Drummond. They are still unsure whether or not he will play after he missed Monday night's game against the Oklahoma City Thunder with a sprained ankle. Now, Drummond's absence was compensated for by Aaron Baines, who finished with 20 points and 8 boards against the Thunder. If Drummond cannot play tonight, his return is likely for Friday's game against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Yeah, LeBron James, folks. Tip-off in the Garden, though, set for 7:30 p.m. tonight. And lastly, former Michigan State basketball star Mateen Cleaves back in Flint in the courtroom this morning for the second day of testimony in his preliminary examination. Now, Cleaves is accused of sexually assaulting a 24-year-old woman at a motel near Flint in September of last year. Now, the hearing is expected to last several days and will determine if the case proceeds to trial. During the first day of testimony on Tuesday, a witness testified that she saw Cleaves repeatedly pull a woman back in a room at that motel against her will. Cleaves, who led Michigan State in 2000 to the NCAA championship, faces charges of unlawful imprisonment, assault with intent to commit criminal sexual penetration, second-degree criminal sexual conduct, and 2 counts of third-degree criminal sexual conduct. The counts are punishable by up to 10 to 15 years in prison. That wraps up your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. If you have any thoughts on those or anything that's on your sports noggin, you know that number to call, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports, or even tweet us at @WKAR_sports, or tweet me at @AlMartinWKAR. Without further ado, let's start the show.
Frisco ties the game at two. Driving on Monk at the step. Puts Michigan State up 7-5. For three at the other end. Good for Monk. Instead of 7-5 to 7-4. That ties the score at seven.
The ball, push it to the side if you can.
Quick three at the other end. Good for Monk. Two in a row for Malik. And a mile down low. Turns, jams, and a foul on Michigan State. Drives on Hawkins, into the lane, cut off by Hawk, and he throws it away, trying to get it out to Harris. Frisco with the steal, the drive, left-hand layup, good. Hands it off to Monk, long three, good. Four first-half threes at 14 points for the freshman from Arkansas. Got clock down to 12, right side to Frisco. Frisco on the drive, wraparound feed, an easy slam dunk for Adebayo. Five players, new players into the game for Kentucky. Hawkins, Calipari, Mulder, Winyard, and Kalia Jones.
You know, before I go on my spiel about, you know, what was wrong about Michigan State last night, I mean, can we please tip our caps to what was clearly right about John Calipari and the Kentucky Wildcats? Again, like every year, a young team, but a young team with some of the best talent in the nation, folks. Oh, my goodness. You know, I got a chance to catch the first half of that game. And a player that really stood out to me. Freshman Malik Monk. I mean, just unconscious from the three-point line. I mean, Monk went 7 of 11 from beyond the arc. He was 8 of 17 overall. So he took, other than draining threes left and right, he only took 1 2-pointer. 23 points for him. And how about, you know, the rest of the cast? You know, how about sophomore Isaiah Briscoe? He was great. He had 21 points. 8 of 18 from the floor. I mean, this is just a good team. Kentucky, every single year, they're in the running. And now the Kentucky Wildcats, with that win over Michigan State, Kentucky moves its record to 3-0, the number two team in the nation, and they are number two for a reason. A 69-48 drubbing of the Michigan State Spartans. Michigan State, for the first time in a long time. And I'm curious, maybe we can look this stat up. We have our current sports PAs, Kamen Kessler and Ashley Gibbard in the house behind the glass. And, of course, we have Isaac Constance, our engineer, behind the glass. I'm curious, guys, if you guys can find me a stat of when was the last time Michigan State won a full game without having any player score in double digits. I mean, because I'm curious. I can't remember the last time that's ever happened where everybody just stayed in single digits. The starters and bench alike. And look at the numbers here. I mean, you know, just looking at the starters, I mean, Kenny Goins, Lou Rawls, Tum Tum Nearing Jr., Matt McQuaid, Aaron Harris, Miles Bridges. Kenny Goins had 9, and he was tied, along with Cassius Winston, as the leading scorers for Michigan State. If somebody would have told me that Kenny Goins and Cassius Winston were going to be the high men for the Spartans, I would have said, you're crazy. That's insane in the membrane. Miles Bridges is clearly going to be that guy. But Miles Bridges, him being a young pup, again, one of the most heralded young pups we've ever seen come through this program, granted, but still young nonetheless. And that youth finally showed for Miles Bridges. Miles went 2 of 11 from the floor. That included going 1 of 5 from the three-point line, and he finished with a dismal 6 points. Uncharacteristic in comparison to what we've seen from Miles Bridges in the very, you know, first two games of the year. At the very first game of the year, and then you look at the two exhibition games, and then you can even go back to Moneyball. You know, I mean, again, take that with a huge bag of salt, though. It is Moneyball. But we've seen Miles Bridges just dazzle, right? And be just an unbelievable player. And for the first time, we saw Miles Bridges remind us that he is human. All right, and he is young. He is a young player. Bridges said after finishing with more turnovers than points in his second college game, and I mentioned in our headliners how Bridges had, yeah, count them, folks, 9 turnovers to lead the team. That's a lot of turnovers. Second to him was Aaron Harris, who had 3, but 9 turnovers for Miles Bridges. Miles said after the game, quote, "I felt really embarrassed." And there was a moment, I'm pretty sure those who tuned into that game saw that moment where Tom Izzo, he pulls Bridges out with about 45 seconds left to play. Bridges comes out, wraps his arm around coaches, and they go on about this interesting dialogue. And at one point you see Miles Bridges, you know, put his head down, and Izzo is lecturing him. You know, he's giving him, you know, some kind of feedback. I imagine there were words of encouragement mixed in with that feedback. And reading a quote here from the Detroit Free Press, this was written by Chris Solari, who was in New York covering the game, dear friend of the show. Izzo said this to Bridges, quote, "I said, Miles, welcome to the real world. No more high school. You're going to get double. You're going to get this. You're going to get that. Just register and learn, because this is part of the process." Which is so true, folks. So true. Now, I have a message for everybody out there who is in panic mode, right? I have a message for everybody out there who's sitting there looking at the box score and evaluating the team statistics and looking at Miles Bridges and how he shot 2 of 11 from the floor. I have a message for you, folks. This team is going to be all right, okay? How many times have we seen this, right? At the very beginning of the year, where Tom Izzo throws his team into the fire. Now, granted, this month of November is probably going to be the toughest November in program history, and Tom talked about that during media day. But how many times have we seen coaches play, you know, these juggernauts in the college basketball world early in the year, and then all of a sudden, when the end of February comes, and we're on the brink of March Madness, and we're on the brink of the Big Ten tourney and the NCAA tourney, this team is completely humming, right? Izzo loves this because now he gets a fair evaluation, a fair litmus test as to where his team currently is. And now Izzo knows what he has to fix moving forward if they are to compete against some of the top-tier programs, some of the top 5, top 10 programs in the nation, like a Kentucky, like in Arizona. He knows just how far his team is right now. And I love it. Now, going back to the stats, yeah, I brought this up. The Spartans shot 32.8% for the game. 20 turnovers, and that's something I harped on when we briefly previewed this game on yesterday's show. Turnovers, turnovers, turnovers. 19 against Arizona. It was a problem then, and it's a problem now. 9, though, from one player. 9 of those turnovers came, almost half of those turnovers came from Miles Bridges. So you commit 20 turnovers, you're constantly giving Kentucky points in doing that. 20 personal fouls, that didn't help. And for the second game in a row now, we've seen Cassius Winston struggle with just trying to stay in right off rip. You know, Cassius, we saw him for the second game in a row pick up two fouls, and he's sitting there on the bench next to Izzo, Dewayne Stevens, and Mike Garland. Can't happen. No one scored in double figures. And have we found a stat? When was the last time? Do you even, Isaac shaking his head. He doesn't even, I mean, that's puzzling, isn't it?
I can't remember. I can't even fathom that in basketball, right? In general.
Exactly. Well, especially for Michigan State, because that blows my mind. But again, no one scored in double figures. As again, Kenny Goins and Cassius Winston led the team with 9 points. Now, what did surprise me, though, now, like, the two surprising things. If you would have told me that Goins and Winston would have led the team in scoring, I would have said you're crazy. That's not happening. But if you also told me that MSU was going to out-rebound the taller Wildcats and hold the Wildcats to 38% shooting from the floor, I would have said, nah. The chances of that happening are very low. But I must say, Michigan State's front court, as small as they may be, and we know the storyline, Gavin Schilling is out, Ben Carter is out, and now you have to rely on guys like Kenny Goins and Nick Ward and that personnel, that front court, to really step up. Well, I thought they did a solid job yesterday. Size was a factor, I think, when it comes to shot selection offensively for Michigan State, but from a standpoint of getting on the boards and defense, Michigan State held its own, and that is encouraging. You have to believe that, folks. Out-rebounded Kentucky 44-40. Impressive. But Kentucky just has a lot of firepower, and if you give them 20 extra possessions to score and put the basketball in the hoop, that is a recipe for disaster. Again, Malik Monk, this young stud, is going to be something else to watch this year. Led all scorers with 23 points, 7 three-pointers. Isaiah Briscoe, 21 points for him as well. And you look at another player that I really love his nickname, Bam Adebayo. Love that name. Now, his real name is Idris. Bam sounds cooler, though, and it was cool how the broadcast went in depth into how he got that nickname, Bam. You know, he happened to be watching the Flintstones, and he flipped over the table, and his mom said, "Oh man, Bam! You know, we're going to call you Bam," and it just kind of stuck. A very cool name there, but he is a strong freshman. I mean, Adebayo has the body of an NBA player right now. I mean, watching some of the dunks he had, and just watching him on the basketball court. I mean, I thought I was watching, you know, somebody like Blake Griffin out there. I mean, it was crazy just looking at his body type. I mean, a very, very stout player. Kentucky's going to be fine. I mean, it amazes me, you know, they do this every year. And I believe we had this bite. I want to play this bite from Izzo. That I meant to roll in, but we couldn't due to time on yesterday's Current Sports. But Izzo, you know, before they even played this game, during his Monday afternoon press conference, you know, Izzo previewed that game. And he talked about recruiting for Kentucky and how John Calipari has been able to get the one and done. Here's Izzo on that.
Well, we've gotten, you can say, did you say we've gone against them or we've gotten some guys? We've gotten one or two. Over quite a few years, but you know they've got a niche going for him. I mean, the niche is that he's done a great job of captivating the one and done, and you know, you can argue that some of those players could gone other places. I mean, I do think Kel does a great job of disciplining them. He's got this team playing as hard defensively as any team I've seen. He benched a guy last night. You know, he's got enough of them, you know, that you can bench one or two or three or four or five and still field a pretty good team. But you know, it's a great program. It's got history. It's you know, they've got great facilities. They've got great fan base. He's a very good coach and they've got very good players. So, and they've got the thing of guys going on to the pros. So there's a lot of positive things that it's hard to recruit, and that's one thing I do appreciate about Miles. You know, he had his chance to go there, and I think he'll be jacked to play in this game.
You know, mad respect for Kentucky. And a lot of you out there are not, and I don't even know if you're a big fan of him, Isaac, but John Calipari, no matter what you may think of the dude knows how to win. And that's one thing I look at when you look at what Coach Cal has been able to do. Now, you can go ahead and speculate that, you know, maybe Coach Cal isn't doing it the right way. You can go ahead and speculate, oh, how is he getting all these big recruits? Is, you know, he has to be going against the grain in some way, shape, or form. But again, has it been caught? You know what I mean? If he is, there's no evidence of that. He has been able to build something that is just different from the majority of the college basketball landscape. And that is, he has been able to get the big recruits who are just fine, and he's just fine with getting these big recruits who are just going to stay for 1 year and go to the pros. And he's been able to reload year after year after year after year. And that's the thing about basketball, folks, more so than any other sport, I believe, that when it comes to recruiting and you recruit the best talent in the nation, that can have direct dividends. You don't have to wait. If you have a young player that's good in high school, that's a five-star recruit, one of the best recruits in the nation, and he comes to your college basketball program, if he's talented in high school, now again, it is a jump. It's a jump. We saw from the Young Pups yesterday from Michigan State. That is a jump, without a doubt. But if you are talented, athletic, and you can put, and if you can score, that has direct translation to the next level from high school to college. Cal has been able to woo those recruits, and those recruits have been able to translate that program into a winning one. Props to him. And you know, you look at the numbers last night. I keep harping on it because he was the most impressive to me, and I think to many out there who watched that game last night. But Malik Monk was the best young stud on that Kentucky roster. Heck, he was the best young stud in that game on the hardwood, Michigan State or Kentucky alike, folks. Isaac, I caught the first half of this game, and I got the chance to catch the second half when I got home after I DVR'd the game. And, you know, it just seemed to me like Michigan State's young players mentally just weren't there in this game.
Yeah, that's the thing. It looked like a bunch of four stars versus five stars. Honestly, that's what it seemed like to me. There's a lot of room for growth for MSU, and you can bet that before this game, Calipari said to his players, sick him, referring to Miles Bridges. They double-teamed him at every opportunity. Whenever he would crash to the paint, they would try to draw a charge. They would try to strip the ball, anything to sort of get in his head, eliminate some of that confidence factor. And boy, was it effective. The other thing I saw with this is Cassius Winston looks about as pro-ready as any freshman I've seen. The thing is, his defense does not look college ready because he just can't stop fouling. If he could remove himself from foul trouble, this team would be much better off because this has been one of the only consistent scoring threats we've seen now, given it's two games this season. But MSU so far, they've had zero consistent scoring threats if you're going off that. So, yeah, there's a lot to work on for MSU. But like you said, props to Kentucky. First off, this MSU team, it's a bunch of freshmen. You got a few sophomores. Aaron Harris. Now that's somebody who you can really call out and say
that's
needs
who I was,
to step up.
That's where I was going next because Aaron is the X factor for this team. Aaron is one of the leaders of this team. And he looked, and I saw a few snippets last night where he just kind of looked just like he wasn't even there.
Zoned out.
Like he was yep. like his body went to New York, but his mind was still here in EL. I don't know where Aaron Harris was last night. And he has to I agree with Jay Billis because Jay Billis made this point when they played Arizona. If this team is going to go far this year, this team is going to have a big run in the NCAA tourney and possibly go to a Final Four again, Aaron Harris is going to have to step up and be a leader and a consistent scorer for them. Can't have a repeat performance of what we saw against Kentucky last night.
Yeah, that's the thing. Aaron Harris, not only was he not doing things on the offensive end, defensively, he was ineffective. I think he exited the game only playing 13 minutes last night.
Right.
He was
on the bench most of the game, yeah.
Out of the performance for MSU. The thing is, they need him to spread the floor in the perimeter so that Miles Bridges can then do his thing on the opposite end. When you have one scoring threat on the floor, it doesn't work. It doesn't matter if that's the NBA, the rec league, wherever it is. That will never work no matter what the caliber of the player is. So as much as people might want to say, oh, Miles Bridges didn't look good last night, he needs some help. And Aaron Harris did not provide him it, nor did his other teammates. But the one thing that surprised me, and this is why I think MSU will be all right, all things considered, is I thought defensively they would be overwhelmed with Kentucky's size and slashing. Right. They didn't get that bogged down by it. MSU looked quite good. Miles Bridges, actually on the defensive end, impressed me on multiple occasions, some big blocks, and also just playing straight-up defense, staying out of foul trouble himself, although Kentucky was targeting him. I thought overall it was a solid performance by the Spartans defensively, and Kenny Goins, an X factor for this team also because of the injuries to the front court, showing that, you know what, maybe the dire need for big men is not so serious and solemn as we thought. MSU looked good in that aspect, and like you said, it's the second game of the year. This is a young team. They'll be all right. Going against Kentucky, that's no easy task for anybody.
This happens every year. We go through this every year. At the very beginning of the year, people are panicking because Michigan State loses to a Duke or Kansas or now a Kentucky. Just wait. All right? This is a long year. Just talk to me when February comes. Then we'll have this conversation. Let's go to line one right now before we hit our first break. We have Dave from Wyoming that wants to weigh in. Dave, welcome to Current Sports. How you doing, my friend?
Well, we're doing well. You missed the first half. If it wasn't for that 8-1, MSU made one free throw. Kentucky missed one free throw. I think they had 8 or 9 attempts. I was shocked to see how even the field goal and three-point percentages were between both teams.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like they were getting run out of the gym.
What do you mean in the? Well, I did see the first half. I missed the second half. But you told me in the shooting in the first half, because look at the 3-point percentage disparity.
In the shooting in the first half, mm-hmm. Kentucky's 3-point shooting percentage and MSU's 3-point percentage was within 1%. It was like 36 point something to 37 point something. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the field goal percentage. They were both in the high 30s. But then he went to free throws, and MSU had 4. They made 1. Kentucky had 8 or 9. They made 7 or 8. And that was the difference at halftime. Other than that, it was pretty much of a tie game. Mm-hmm. And then in the second half, I think, MSU's got some really nice players, and Kentucky's got a whole bench full of really good players right now. And there's no other way to cut it. You talk about how Kentucky could do it. If you ever have the chance, go down to look at their new basketball palace, the Kohl Center.
I've seen pictures, yeah.
and see if that would fly on MSU's campus.
Right, right.
That probably wouldn't, okay? Meaning I'm an MSU grad, mm-hmm. we haven't had the benefit of a coach who's made the acquaintance of a guy like World Wide West, mm-hmm. who seemed to be everywhere all the time, and had this great connection. Now, that's backed off, but I knew of Calipari way back when he was coaching in Massachusetts. And he is an expert at, we'll call it, 7 steps of separation, mm-hmm. for lack of a better term. So he always seems to be able to make contact, and Kentucky's a program has been able to make contact. I mean, they've been pulling guys from New York and L.A. and all over the country to Lexington, Kentucky since before World War II, for God's sake. Mm-hmm. And that's just not a culture that we have at Michigan State and that most schools don't have. Of course, in Kentucky's also been on probation how many times?
Right.
And Michigan State hasn't. But as far as this team goes, the things that I'm impressed with is the play of Kenny Goins. I'm worried about the play of Harris, like you said. I mean, I didn't know how much more detached he can be. I don't know whether he's unhappy or just in a shooting funk. I'm concerned that McQuaid seems to be just off on his shot, and they need him to be shooting. The thing that concerns me about Bridges is he's a freshman. He's never played this many competitive games in a row in his life as the season goes on. And they can't have him being Mr. Everything and expect him to be what he is now,
yeah.
come March.
Right.
Because he's going to be worn out, and other people have to step out. The other, with Goins, the biggest thing that concerns me is he's going to be expected to bang around with guys like Haas out of Purdue and some other guys.
Right.
And that knee worries is a concern for me. Every time he goes out, I think we're going to see him limping off the court again and be gone for a while. And this year, the team can't afford it.
Got to stay healthy. I agree. I totally agree with you. Dave, great call. Appreciate it. And, yeah, and quick two snippets here. And you know, Dave brought up three-point percentage, and you look at how the final numbers look. He mentioned the first-half numbers. Kentucky shot 33% from the three-point line. MSU finished 5 of 26 from beyond the arc, 19.2%. And another thing I mentioned about aggressiveness against Arizona in the paint and going to the free-throw line, 16 of 20. So University of Kentucky got to the line 20 times last night. Michigan State just shot 3 of 9 from the free throw line. So let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will invite two young pups who are ripping it up out in New York when it comes to just encouraging those out there to live a healthier lifestyle. You'll see what I mean in just a second, all right? We'll invite two representatives who have started something called Duke's Food and Fitness. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, as we customarily like to do each and every weekday here from 1 to 2 p.m. We love to hear from you. Our phone lines are open, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. While you guys are blowing up our phone lines, let's get to our guest for today's show. Duke's Food and Fitness was established June of this year in New York City by twin brothers Shaka and Menachem Dukes. Now, the Dukes are originally from the D, Detroit. Shout out to Detroit, Michigan. And were raised in Northern California. Now, when finishing high school, graduating from Detroit Mumford, the Dukes attended Michigan State University, where they both continued to pursue track and field and cross country. Graduated with bachelor's in science and food industry management. And after being separated for 3 years after graduation, Shaka and Menachem were reunited in New York City, the city that never sleeps, where they now serve as certified dietitians for the Department of Education. Their vision was made prior to graduation of college on what they wanted to do to save lives and make this world a healthier place by using their athletic and nutritional background. The Dukes are fulfilling their purpose. And as I stated on yesterday's show, we had Matt Marks on, who is a representative from Give and Grow. And, of course, with it being November, with it being Men's Health Awareness Month, we have the privilege of welcoming guests that aid in men, especially, being aware of how to live healthier lives and always being aware of the state of their health and how important it is. So right now, we've got the two founders of Duke's Food and Fitness on lines 1 and 2, Shaka and Menachem. Brothers, how you guys doing?
Doing great, brother. How you doing?
Always good hearing from you fellas. This is the first time, Isaac, I think we've had two guests on the phone along with me on the air, so this should be interesting. And we're ecstatic to have you guys on. I went to college with both Shaka and Menachem, and I remember when they ran track for Michigan State, and you know, and they've just done some great things afterwards. And I've been following them on social media, and Duke's Food and Fitness is really taking off. I first off want to start at really just the foundation of both of your interests when it comes to health and fitness. How did fitness become so big in both of your lives? We'll start with Shaka and then go to Menachem. Shaka?
Okay. Well, as you said earlier, you know, just being an athlete our whole life, you know, that, you know, fitness, you know, is instilled in me. You know, that was me. In order to contain and sustain a athletic career, you know, you have to take care of yourself. So you have to eat right and treat your body right, you know, as far as doing physical activity and nurturing your body with consuming food. And, you know, it really became serious, you know, once we got to college, when you, you know, you can joke around and say, oh, I can eat anything, you know, but when you're working and increasing that workload on a Division I collegiate level as an athlete, it's really vital, you know, that we treat ourselves. And, you know, that just stuck with me. And, you know, wanted to continue to spread that awareness.
And what about for you, Menachem? How did fitness become so important in your life?
Well, you know, like Shaq said, we started off young. It really all started back when we were like 6 years old, when we really dove into it and running track and field, playing basketball, football, et cetera.
Wow, hold on. So you told me, Malcolm, you guys were 6 years old when you first started taking fitness seriously? Man, that's pretty young.
Very serious, because we started competing at a high level at a young age.
Yeah.
In state to state, you know, even outside of the country. So our father and our older brother, you know, they made sure we had our vitamins and everything just to – so that we can perform at a high level. And from learning all this at six and really understanding it at a collegiate level, that's how, you know, it's been like instilled into us to live as adults and maintain this healthy life, you know.
Yeah, especially if it's been a part of your lifestyle since 6 years old, I'm sure. I mean, it's ingrained in your DNA when it starts so young. Unfortunately, for most of the American population, it doesn't start that young. So I want to, before we dive into the start of Duke's Food and Fitness, I want to just ask you guys this question. Do you think our country is becoming healthier or trending in the opposite direction? We'll start with Menachem this time.
Yes, the country is getting a lot healthier in some areas. You know, you have California, Washington, parts of Texas, and Austin. You have Asheville, North Carolina, Atlanta, Georgia, New York, Philadelphia. A lot of those cities are picking up on a trend of, you know, vegan and vegetarian diets, or just basically clean eating. And you're seeing a rise in these type of restaurants that are being put in these cities and bringing a lot of awareness to people. And, you know, when they have these options at hand reach, you know, they can go and try it, even though they might be scared, but at least they try and, you know, they might learn something once they, you know, go to this restaurant or, you know, from a friend that, you know, eating healthy is the way to go.
Now, Shaka, I want to bring this up because I feel like, and I may be wrong here, but I feel like now more than ever, every time I'm going on Facebook or when I'm on my Instagram, I'm seeing individuals, you know, working out more. I see individuals, you know, trying different things as far as trying new foods and trying to be, you know, trying to become healthier in the things they buy at the grocery store. I feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like we are in the midst of a small culture shift here. Because people are, I just see it more often when I'm on social media. Is that accurate to say, or are people just posting about it more now?
Well, you know, we are in the midst of a change. However, you know, if you look at studies, you know, it shows that America obesity rate has increased. So when you try to compare apples and apples, you're like, we're getting fatter and, you know, less healthier as a country. But now people are becoming more health conscious. You have about, you know, 25 million people who now, you know, they look to eat healthier meals, you know, three times a week compared to eating less healthier meals that what they were consuming. They're buying less processed foods. You know, so it's changing with the smaller things. And, you know, the smaller things are the ones, you know, that lead to the larger, you know, capacity. And, you know, you start small and you see people are turning to knocking one thing out at a time. And we are turning that tide to a healthier country.
If you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with the founders of Duke's Food and Fitness, Shaka and Menachem Dukes. Now, Menachem, just talk about the founding of Duke's Food and Fitness. When did this idea, you know, start, and what did it take to put it into fruition?
Well, you know, since we've been in college, friends and family has always, like, contacted us regarding, oh, what should I eat or what exercises should I do? And, you know, when Shaka moved to New York, that continued to happen. And, you know, we had a lot of friends in our circle that say, if you guys don't go through with this, you know, y'all be some fools. So, you know, in June, I mean, we just went full throttle and we haven't looked back since. And we've been developing a lot of things. Our team is getting a lot larger. We met great partners and we have great people that come work out with us. And it's just amazing. So look out for it, you know.
Without a doubt, yeah. And I'm going to give you guys an opportunity also to pub social media and also to give our listeners, you know, just more information on how they can get in touch with you all if they want to join the team, so to speak. And folks, if you guys have any questions for Shaka and Menachem, please call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Shaka, it's definitely easier, and this is the point I made earlier in the chat, it's definitely easier for a former athlete to adopt a healthy lifestyle because it has been such a big part of your lives for so long. But how do you go about starting someone on that road to a healthier life that doesn't have any inkling of what an athletic background even looks like?
So, you know, the first step you want to do, you know, as far as you have to tell yourself, it starts within. And, you know, it's a lifestyle change. You have to be committed to changing your lifestyle to maintain and sustain a healthy lifestyle. So, like as I said before, when more people are continuing to buy less processed food, eat less fast food, it starts there. You know, everything is about moderation. You know, the more bad foods you consume, the more risk you're putting yourself, you know, as far as your health. So you wanna start small and then work your way up, you know, to where you don't have to eat a cheesecake every 2 days or, you know.
Right. Isaac, are you listening? Isaac, you listening to this?
Hey, why are you calling me out, you know, man? Come on.
Right.
So you just wanna change your moderation of how much you consume. Start to add more leafy greens. So you're just substituting the bad food with the good food. And you soon will be able to substitute where the bulk of your diet is consumed, you know, healthy organic foods, natural produce foods, and less sugar, preservatives, et cetera. So you want to just start small and then build your way up.
Now, Menachem, when it comes to working out, what is a realistic sort of schedule that if we have a listener out there that is, you know, not really big into hitting the gym and changing their lifestyle as far as what they pick up in the grocery store, but as just far as, I just want to focus on just working out and getting in the gym. What's a realistic schedule for some of our listeners that want to just ease into this thing and not be thrown into the fire?
All right. Realistic, you know, workout for a lot of the beginners who haven't been in the gym or like to get into the gym or just do any types of fitness. You know, you start small. You might start with a 20-minute walk or a 20-minute bike ride if you have a bike. You can also do some light weights, some sit-ups or push-ups. You know, 10 sets of each, but pretty much 3 days a week, 30 minutes. That's more realistic. We're not asking you to kill your body. That bike ride can be 20 minutes. You know, you can hit an elliptical for 20 minutes. You know, nothing crazy. Mm-hmm. But as long as you start to build your foundation, that's when you can take it up a notch. So for all the people who want to get in the gym, just start small. We're not asking you to do a million and one things. You know, it's one step at a time.
So true. And now, Shaka, I want you to sort of pinpoint, you know, what makes, because there are a lot of fitness organizations out there and a lot of individuals out there trying to, you know, motivate and maybe become a personal trainer to a lot of individuals out there to make a living off of it. What separates Duke's Food and Fitness? Because as Menachem just talked about, I mean, you know, you want to throw individuals into the fire and maybe turn them off from working out and think that this is a hill up to nowhere. You want to really ease them into it. But what I find really cool is what you guys done on social media. You guys have come up with these really cool, like, 30-day challenges. Can you talk about that a bit?
Yeah, so with these challenges, we look for, you know, it raises participation. We figured, let's create a challenge. You know, a 1 week, 30-day challenge, you know, put it out on social media to see what our followers would do. You know, it's reaching the people who aren't in New York, per se. So, you know, it's just all about challenging yourself and see how far you can come along in a challenge. When we have our participants, they, you know, they send a before and after picture, you know. Mm-hmm. But the motive of the challenge is just to get people to work, you know. If we can get one or two people to work and be active, we've done our job, you know, because that's what we're here for. You know, we're here to spread awareness and have people to get active and have a proper diet as well. And, you know, if we can reach as many people as possible, that's even better.
I absolutely love it. And you guys are certainly doing that, an inspiring day after day after day. Keep it up. And Menachem, how can individuals out there, if they want to find more out about, of course, Duke's Food and Fitness, how can they follow you guys on social media? How can they get involved? And a question for both of you guys. So after you do that, Menachem, just I want you to give – one big piece of advice to all of our listeners out there on how they can start living a healthier lifestyle. Menachem?
All right. So you can follow us on Instagram on our perspective pages, M Dukes, and then you have Shaka, S Dukes. Shaka is S-H-A-K-A underscore Dukes, D-U-K-E-S. And then you have our food and fitness page, which is Duke's Food and Fitness, all one word. So D-U-K-E-S, food, F-O-O-D, and A-N-D, fitness, F-I-T-N-E-S-S. And my word of advice to all the people out there, you know, this, when you're walking down that Twinkie aisle, keep going. Don't stop for 1 second. Run right through it.
I love that. I'll be heeding that advice. All right, Menachem, without a doubt. Shaka, what about you?
and my advice is patience. Patience is a virtue. You know, when you're looking to change your lifestyle, it's not going to change overnight. So you want to have the patience to allow yourself to keep pushing, and that work will show later down the road. Can't get nothing easy. You always have to put that work in.
I absolutely love it. The one, the only, the twin brothers out in NYC, Shaka and Menachem Dukes of Duke's Food and Fitness. Fellas, thank you so much for coming on. I'm sure our listeners enjoyed that one, without a doubt.
All right. Thanks for having us.
Brother, we appreciate,
really appreciate it. You know, very honored and humbled to have the experience to continue to fulfill our purpose and have the support from your staff and yourself to allow us to reach.
Without a doubt. And you guys are reaching and doing tenfold more, without a doubt. Shaka and Menachem Dukes, thanks a lot, fellas.
All right. Thanks, brothers.
Let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will put a bow on today's current sports with a quick chat about the college football playoff rankings. And I do mean quick. And we also invite Ashley Gibbert as well as Cayman Kessler to the show to talk about new content on WKAR.org right now. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Just 4 minutes left in the show. I had posed before we brought on Shaka and Menachem Dukes of Duke's Food and Fitness. We were talking about it, the MSU men's basketball game, and how no one scored in double digits in that loss against Kentucky last night, where Kamen Kessler did a great job. He spent all hour looking up when was the last time Michigan State did not have a double-digit score. Well, you got to go all the way back to February 7th, 2007, in a 62-38 loss to Purdue. The leading scorer was Raymar Morgan with 9 points. No other Spartan had more than six. Kamen, very well done, my friend.
Thank you.
Ashley, did you help him out on that as well?
No, I was looking, but I couldn't find it.
Ashley's like, no,
he
I didn't at all. Okay, well, I have Kamen Kessler and Ashley Gibbard in the house right now. Very briefly to pub, two fantastic stories that are on our WKAR.org website right now. You guys know that we work with the Journalism 418 class right here out of the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences. They do an outstanding job providing us with content and providing us with insight that we don't normally get on your normal day-to-day coverage. And Kamen, you are on the beat of the Michigan State Club hockey team. What can people expect out of your latest piece of work?
Well, I went to the varsity MSU hockey team's green versus white game and saw that some of the club hockey players were playing in it, and started talking to him about that opportunity and realized that a player 2 years ago made the jump up to the varsity team from playing in that game. Didn't get any time with any game time, but Joel Arsenault, awesome story, went from playing club hockey to being on the varsity MSU team just through the opportunity he had there.
So basically the article's about, you know, players getting opportunity to play for that club team to possibly move up and get some time with the MSU varsity hockey team with Tom Manassas. I love that.
Yeah, and I highlight Joel's opportunity to talk to him a little bit about his experiences and his time there.
East Lansing water polo, at East Lansing and Holt water polo, right? Ashley, what can people expect from that article?
Okay, so my article is basically just about East Lansing and Holt combined 12 years ago to form their water polo team. They were lucky if they won 5 games. Now, under Ron Marsh, who now coaches them for the past 7 years, he's been able to get them ranked number 10 in the state.
Wow, that is very cool stuff. Again, you can catch both of those articles on our website right now at WKAR.org. Brief thoughts on the latest edition of the College Football Playoff Rankings. I just have one word. Ridiculous. I'll elaborate on those tomorrow. On tomorrow's Current Sports, with just under a minute left. We'll get to that tomorrow, Isaac, all right? So, I know, bite your tongue. Bite your tongue, all right? We'll see you tomorrow, folks. Much love and thanks to the Dukes brothers, Shaka and Menachem, for coming on and promoting food and fitness. Well, I shouldn't say promoting food. Health and fitness, all right? They were kind of promoting food, but healthy food, all right? We'll be back at it same time, same place tomorrow. You have been listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. I'm Al Martin. Be easy, people.